Hara, offered to make the morning coffee while I took a shower. She made a big show of walking into the kitchen, giving me an opportunity to check out her new sachet, which I later learned was modeled after Betty Grable's. I tried very hard not to look for too long, and hurried into the shower and set it for cold. And in yet another example of those patented, literally, by Harv, Zach Johnson hard luck coincidences, I was in the shower for 2 minutes when Electra, after having waited patiently for 10 minutes for me to call back, took matters into her own hands and called me instead. Hara answered the call and put Electra on the bathroom monitor, it doubles as a shaving mirror, just as I was stepping out. So when Electra's concerned face came on the screen, she saw me, naked save for a towel, looking surprised and more than a little guilty, with Hara standing behind me.
This isn't what it looks like.
That's good, because it looks like a man with a death wish.
You see, I had a rough night.
I can tell.
She eyed Hara, who was admiring herself using the wall screen as a makeshift mirror.
But I'm warning you that the phrase, rough night, is going to take on a whole new meaning for you when I get back.
I can explain, Miamor.
Tell you what, Chico. In deference to our many years together, I'm going to work with you on this and let you choose which of your arms I'm going to break.
I'm glad to see that you're keeping this all in perspective. Look, here's the quick recap to bring you up to speed. I was attacked last night. Kabuki droids, which is a first even for me. It was part of a new reality series in which I'm starring, but which I didn't know about. I don't want to do the show, so I'm being sued by a restaurant owner, which means I need money, which is why I just accepted an assignment from Sexy Sprockets, whom I saved last night, by the way, although I just learned that she wasn't really in danger since the bots were programmed to attack only me. She doesn't know that, though, so she wants to hire me, although with the nano, I thought that she just wanted to date me.
You're not helping yourself, Chico.
However, I spurned her advances. Not the employment ones, just the romantic ones.
Which didn't exist.
That's technically true, but I should still get credit for spurning them, even if they're all in my head. Oh, and by the way, Harv's a woman now.
So the Buddha behind you is Harv?
Electra stared past me at Hara, who was adjusting her holographic skirt.
Actually, he prefers to be called Hara now.
Which explains why she's in the bathroom with you while you're naked?
Not really, no, but I think you can understand how little actual control I have over my life at present.
You're really scraping the bottom of the excuse barrel with this one.
I freely admit that this is the most preposterous excuse possible for having a red-headed bombshell in my bathroom.
It's beyond preposterous.
And I admit that I am an exceptionally skilled liar.
You got that right, Chico.
Okay, so here's where it all comes together. In such an awkward and potentially life-threatening position, would a consummate liar such as myself come up with such a lame excuse?
Kay.
Come on, honey. I'm risking gravest bodily harm here. With all that's on the line, do you really think the lie I would come up with is, oh, by the way, Harv's a woman now, if it weren't true? I mean, there are a million better ways to explain this.
Name one.
She's a holographic advertisement that came with my new cologne.
Name another.
She's part of the new pickup service offered by my dry cleaner. She's an android assassin trying to take me by surprise. She's a virus that I accidentally downloaded onto the house computer while viewing porn.
None of those excuses would help you, you know.
But they're all more plausible than Harv becoming a woman.
You really expect me to believe that's Harv?
Electra, Miamor, I know this looks bad, but you have to believe me when I say that you're the one I'm in love with.
Oh, Gades, Zach, can't you grasp even the rudiments of proper grammar? It's the one with whom I'm in love. I've told you a million times that you can't end a sentence with a preposition. Forget my new look. Dr. Gavada should break up with you based on your grammar alone.
Yep, that's Harv.
And you doubted me.
You know, he's got a nice walk.
I'm trying not to notice.
I still don't like this on many, many levels.
You and me both, but I'm stuck with it for the nano. Can we talk about it when you get home?
Count on it, Chico.
The screen went back to mirror mode. I spent the next few nanos staring at my tired-looking face in the mirror and wondering what other unwanted surprises the day held for me. While I finished my morning routine, Hara arranged a meeting with Sexy Sprockets to discuss the new assignment, which I now had to take. Sexy wanted to get things moving very quickly, so an hour later, Hara and I hit the streets on the way to the meet and greet. We had some time to spare, so we left the hover behind and took the Twin Sen 69 Mustang. I have a thing for 20th century cars, only part of which is that they're not computerized. They're also good for the image.
There are times when a PI needs to be subtle. That's when I use the nondescript hover. But I decided to go with a higher profile on this case, figuring that there'd be less trouble if people knew I was guarding Sexy. I'm not really sure why I thought that, given my history, but I try to stay optimistic. Besides, after free-falling the night before, I was hoping to spend as much time as I could safely on terra firma. So I gratefully maneuvered my 8-cylinder calling card through the streets while Hara sat in the passenger seat, painting her nails.
You see, my experiment is already bearing fruit for thought. Dr. Kavada has seen me in the bathroom with you innumerable times in the past, yet this is the first time she has reacted in such a jealous manner.
Congratulations. You've conclusively proven that Elektra has a temper. Feel free to change back to your normal self at any time.
Don't be silly. I haven't even scratched the surface yet. There's a whole world out here to explore. The reactions you get as a woman are vastly different from those you get as a man.
Terrific. But is it possible to do some actual PI work now? Or are you too busy scratching your surface?
Don't be such a Celeron, Zack.
Hara held her nails up to the light.
What do you need?
Let's start with information on Sexy Sprockets.
Fine. What do you want to know?
What she's currently doing, for one. I don't really follow her.
Well, she's currently on the last leg of her farewell tour.
Her what?
Her year-long farewell tour. She's retiring from the business.
She's like 18.
She's 20, Zack, which means that she's no longer a teen sensation.
So she's retiring?
Retiring is a very relative term. This is informally being referred to as her first farewell tour. Common theory is that it's a prelude to her triumphant comeback tour.
When will that be?
Probably when she's 21. She'll be able to do alcohol commercials then. It's a whole new demographic. Still, from what I can tell, there are many people who aren't too happy about her retiring.
Such as?
Legions of teenage fans, tabloid reporters, lecherous middle-aged men.
Interesting, but none of that explains why she'd want to hire me as a bodyguard.
I think we've safely ruled out the naive schoolgirl crush as her motive.
Funny. Check the police records. See if anyone connected to her has reported anything out of the ordinary recently. See if you can check her finances and those of her companies as well. Let's make sure we know as much as we can going into this.
Got it. You don't want any surprises.
Trust me, there will be surprises. I just want to minimize them. I met with Carol at the office. Tell her we're swinging by to pick her up.
You're bringing Carol to the meeting?
I have a feeling I'm going to need a translator when I meet Sexy's people.
I thought you didn't approve of Carol doing field work.
That was before I found out she cavorted with aliens aboard interstellar spacecraft. That kind of changed our dynamic a bit. Like I said, I have a feeling that I'm going to need all the help I can get on this one.
Don't be such a worm in the data, Zack. If you can't babysit a pop star for a couple of days, then I'm not sure I want to be the Laura Holt to your Remington Steele.
You're not my Laura Holt.
All right, then. Pussy galore.
Yeah, well, kaflugel.
What was that?
Nothing.
I'm telling you, Zack, this is going to be as easy as calculating pi to the 100th digit.
You know, you always say that just before people start trying to kill me.
For her stay in New Frisco, Sexy commandeered the top 5 floors of the Paisan d'Elite Hotel downtown, which wasn't surprising. The Elite has been the city's premier lodging place for A-list recording artists since it opened last year. Nearly all stage performers, as well as most actors and actresses visiting the area, have commandeered one or more floors when they visited the city. One reason for the hotel's allure is that it's posh beyond belief in both decor and amenities. The other, more important reason is that staying anywhere else would be a felony. It's no secret that the antics of recording stars, and celebrities in general, are outside the realm of normal behavior. The industry breeds a certain lifestyle. The lifestyle breeds excess. Excess breeds erratic behavior, and erratic behavior, when it comes to hotels, restaurants, and other hospitality-oriented businesses, breeds rampant wanton vandalism. For over a century, hotels around the world have been subjected to the outlandish and often destructive behavior of celebrities. Smashed windows, broken furniture, destroyed walls, fish-battered groupies, etc., etc. The publicity a hotel received from a celebrity stay soon became minimized when compared to the cost of repairs, lost business, rising insurance rates, and the occasional grievous bodily injury or loss of life of non-celebrity bystanders and passers-by. So 5 years ago, the province of California passed the Celebrity Temporary Housing Bill, which mandates that all celebrities of a certain stature stay only in government-operated hotels, specially designed to withstand their eccentric, bizarre, and/or eldritch behaviors. The Elite is the first of these specially designed, celebrity-proof hotels. The furniture, appliances, and the building itself are all fireproof, bulletproof, and stain-guarded.
Several of the more expensive suites are equipped with regenerative furnishings so that when a celebrity in an alcohol, drug, or tantrum-related rage destroys the room, it can rebuild itself after the celebrity passes out. Room rates are exceptionally high, but celebrity doctors and accountants have begun claiming that the hotel provides an excellent venue for rage therapy, so the cost of extended stays has become tax-deductible. Carol, Hara, and I arrived at the hotel in plenty of time for the meeting, and after the extensive security check and screening process, we're quickly shown to the private elevator. Carol, by the way, is my niece. She's actually Elektra's niece, but she treats me like an uncle. She works for me part-time at my office to help work her way through college. She's very smart, very feisty, very attractive, and very psionically powerful. She's also young and hip, which is specifically why I brought her along to the meeting. Okay, we're gonna need a trouble signal.
Theo, I'm a psi. Just think something to me and I'll get the message.
I still want an emergency backup plan, something physical. Humor me, I've been in this business a long time.
Fine. How about touching your nose and nodding your head if there's trouble?
That won't work. I touch my nose by accident all the time.
He has eczema.
I do not. It's just a nervous habit. All the great PIs had one. That's mine. Now, if there's trouble, I'll blink my right eye 3 times fast. Clear?
You don't think people will notice you spasmodically blinking one eye?
That's the code, okay? 3 blinks of the right eye means trouble. And just for the record, 4 blinks means please shoot me in the head.
You're the boss, Teal.
2 nanos later, the elevator doors opened, and we stepped into the hallway. The hallway was lavishly appointed with marble walls and columns and intricately woven oriental rugs and tapestries on the floor and walls. Not what I'd expect for a pop star. Then a man appeared from a doorway ahead of us and approached.
Mr. Johnson, how wonderful you could come on such short notice.
He was taller than me by half a head, but thinner than me by at least 10 kilos. He was gangly in the extremities, but moved gracefully, like a mantis. He was dressed in a pink striped suit with a purple tie and matching purple socks, and looked for all the world like a clown going to a prom.
Now this is more like what I was expecting.
Then the man drew near us, and smiled a smile that amazingly made his wardrobe seem tame by comparison.
I'm Sexy's manager, Sammy Smiles.
The man had more teeth than I'd ever seen in a human mouth. There were 60 at least, and his mouth was somehow large enough to contain them all. When he smiled, his lips spread apart like curtains on a stage, opening farther than you'd think possible, and his cheeks moved upward and out as though they were on pulleys attached to his ears. It was all I could do not to stare as I shook his hand. Carol, on the other hand, being somewhat new to this, was a little taken aback. Smiles noticed her staring at him, but didn't seem to mind.
And who, may I ask, is the lovely creature?
He reached for her hand.
This is Carol. She's my assistant.
Charmed.
His smile curling ever so slightly at the corners, he gently took her hand and kissed it.
Oh, the pleasure's mine.
Smiles nodded, offered her his arm, which Carol reluctantly took, and motioned toward the great metallic doorway at the hallway's end.
Come, Sexy is waiting.
The huge metallic doors opened at Smiles' gentle touch, and we entered Sexy's suite. The words huge and posh, although technically correct, would not do the space justice.
Wow.
I agree.
The suite went on for as far as I could see. I was pretty certain that was mostly a holographic illusion, but it was still pretty impressive nonetheless.
Sexy is in the entertainment area. I wish she'd practice more, but she just loves her video games.
We followed Smiles through the suite, and after about 5 minutes of walking, like I said, big suite, we found Sexy sitting atop a round plush levitating couch. She was wearing virtual game gloves and moving her hands frantically as little holographic geometrical shapes danced from the ceiling to the floor. 3 other girls sat with her on the couch. They looked, for a lack of a better description, like Sexy, slightly less sexy clones. Each of them had long red hair, slim athletic bodies, and expressions of slight boredom and disdain.
That's strange.
Strange only microscopically scratches the surface here.
Some of your hormone levels shot up.
There's a news flash.
Not those hormones, the ones that stimulate the feelings of euphoria in the brain.
Like I'm being drugged?
In a way. I'm counteracting the effects, though.
Yeah, we wouldn't want me feeling any euphoria.
Sexy spotted me from her perch on the couch.
Zach!
She rolled off the couch and landed on her feet with far more grace than I expected. She removed her virtual game gloves and gave me a hug and a little peck on the cheek.
Thanks for coming to my rescue.
It's what I do.
Oh, I'm gagging here.
This is my assistant, Carol.
Pleased to meet you, double X set.
She held out her hand, pinky finger up.
Shay Rico.
Carol linked her thumb around Sexy's pinky finger.
Wild guess. Slang?
Brilliant deduction.
So, Zach, where should we start?
Let's start with why you need a bodyguard.
Ugh, that's a long story. I'll give you the full data flow in my thinking room.
Thinking room?
It's where I think about business.
You mean like an office?
That's what I love about you, Zach. You're so old school.
Please, he's more like prehistoric school.
Have you been coaching, Carol?
Sexy's thinking room turned out to be a large pink-walled tatami room in the far end of the suite. There were silk pillows on the floor and a dark wood knee-high table beside a large window with a stunning view of the new Frisco Bay. Sexy ushered Carol and me inside and then turned to meet Smiles, who was trailing behind us.
Sammy, why don't you make us some of your righteous next energy drinks?
Smiles took a step back, a little surprised.
Sammy makes the best energy drinks on the planet. You have to try one, Carol. What about you, Zach?
I'm good, thanks.
Sure thing. I'll be back in a nano.
Take your time.
Smiles cast her a glance, then put his happy face back on and eased his way out of the room. Sexy closed the door behind him and took a seat on one of the pillows.
I get a thinking room like this at every hotel I stay in. The walls have to be a specific thickness, soundproof, and this exact shade of pink. I bring the furniture. I like the room sparse, so nothing distracts me when I'm thinking.
Cool. I need a room like this.
Everybody does!
Carol plopped down on the pillow beside Sexy, while I eased my way down to the floor on the other side of the table.
This is odd. The ambient radiation in this room is rather high.
That doesn't sound good.
Ambient radiation is usually harmless. It's used by a lot of trendy places these days as a mood setter. I'll explain it to you later. For now, don't worry.
So here's the deal. I need a bodyguard.
You don't have one already?
I have several, but I need you.
Why me specifically?
Look, Zach, I know that you're not the youngest guy out there, or the strongest, or the best looking, and you don't have the best credentials, and Jobs knows you're not hip with my crowd, and...
I get the point, Sexy.
But you know how to get the job done, and that's what I need, especially now.
Why now? What's going on?
I've been getting threats.
What kind of threats?
Death threats. From an organization called PATA.
PATA?
People Against Talentless Acts. They're not my biggest fans.
It was hard not to laugh, but Carol and I somehow managed it.
They're threatening to do whatever they need to in order to prevent me from finishing my tour.
But it's your farewell tour. If they hate you so much, shouldn't they be happy?
It's my first farewell tour. They're expecting me to make a comeback.
And are you planning on making a comeback?
Not in music. When I turn 21... I plan to run for governor.
Sorry. We thought you were joking.
Yeah, I'm expecting that kind of reaction from a certain percentage of voters. But the point is that PATA wants me dead, and I need you to keep me alive.
Certainly your recording company has protection for you.
Honestly, girlfriend, I don't fully trust my company.
Why's that?
They're not all that wild about me quitting the business. No new music, no annual tours. That's a lot of wealth they're losing.
But they still want to protect you. They wouldn't want anything bad to happen to you, would they?
Spite is a very strong motivator in the entertainment industry.
Second only to greed and lust.
And let's just say that if I were to die tragically, sales of my catalog would skyrocket.
And you're probably insured.
And can you imagine the sales of a live album that ends with me being killed on stage?
Wow, that's morbid.
But the sales would be astronomical. The bottom line is that the only person who would truly suffer if I were to die tragically would be me.
So you don't fully trust the company to keep you safe.
Just because I'm sexy doesn't mean I'm stupid.
So will you help me, Zach? Please?
She looked at me with doe eyes and fully pouted lips. A thin strand of red hair dangled down her cheek like a silken red tear, and I felt my blood begin to warm with excitement and dread. Sure, I needed the money, but I knew that this was going to be nothing but fuel-injected, turbo-driven trouble. It would be tough enough babysitting a pop star, but trying to keep her safe from a potential assassin on top of that? Any sane man would have run screaming from the room. But as I said, I'm not considered the sanest person around.
Let's start from the first threat.
She smiled, gently wiped the corner of one eye with her fingertip, and touched the tabletop. The surface lit up at her touch, the faux wood turning into a luminescent computer screen. She touched the screen again, and a simple message appeared. It was handwritten in a shaky and sometimes jagged script. Your farewell will be forever. No comeback for you, sexy. Pada. People against talentless acts.
This was sent to my personal computer last week.
It's harsh, but surely you've gotten hate mail before.
Sexy nodded and touched the screen again. A second message appeared. Your 15 nanos are over, sexy. The end is near. Pada.
This one was scrawled on a disposable screen and staked to my pillow with an ice pick.
Yeah, that's a little more serious.
She touched the screen again, and a third message appeared, in writing more jagged than before. Death is in this season. Death is sexy. Pada.
This one was scrawled in blood on the wall of my bedroom.
I can see why you're so concerned.
She touched the screen again, and one more message appeared, in writing so manic that it was hard to read. The intent, though, was crystal clear. Die, sexy. Die, 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 die. Pada.
Oh, this one was carved into a severed bleached skull of my Pomeranian and left for me on my bathroom vanity while I was taking a shower.
I sat back and rubbed my temples, hoping to ward off the inevitable headache.
Remember how I said this was going to be easy? I think I may have miscalculated just a bit.
We left the thinking room and headed back into the entertainment area. We met Smiles in the hallway, who gave Sexy and Carol their energy drinks.
Mmm, this is fabulous.
So, what do you think, Zach?
Well, I'll have my computer do some research on Pada and analyze the notes for anything that can help us. I'll check with the police to see what they've found so far.
The police don't know about any of this.
What?
We haven't reported the threats.
Why not?
We can't afford the negative publicity. This tour has been all about positive energy.
Well, you're calling the police now.
If we call the police, then the story will be in the press 5 nanos later.
If you don't call the police, I'll be off the case quicker than that.
It's bad publicity.
Not as bad as Sexy being killed.
That's not going to happen.
I turned away from Smiles and spoke directly to Sexy.
I have contacts at the department. They'll keep it quiet.
Sexy, you can't keep something like this quiet. Word will get out. And when it does, then the focus of the tour shifts away from you and on to Pata.
You wanted my help, Sexy. Take it.
Contact the police.
And you should probably lay low for a while to give me some time to check out your security systems.
Mm-mm. That won't be possible, Zach. I've got a concert in about 5 hours.
What?
I'm on tour, Zach. Remember? Tonight's the first of 5 shows at the Fart.
I suppose canceling the shows is out of the question, huh?
Sexy didn't even dignify the question with an answer. She simply flashed me a smile and gave me a hug.
I have to do my prep for the show. Sammy will give you the rest of the necessary data flow.
I'd like Carol to stay with you if that's all right. I'm going to speak with the police and check some things out. Don't leave the hotel until I get back.
No problem. Right, Sammy?
Anything you say, Sexy.
Carol, you contact me if anything happens that I should know about.
Of course, Dio.
Okay, I'll see you in a few hours.
The two turned and sauntered away.
So, what's the deal with Carol? Is she in showbiz?
No, thanks, Steve. No offense.
Too bad. She has potential.
I should meet with Sexy's other bodyguards. We'll need to coordinate efforts quickly.
No problem there.
Sammy turned his gaze upward to the 3 girls that I'd seen when I arrived.
Ladies, there's someone here you need to meet. Zach, I'd like you to meet Misty, Sissy, and Lusty, Sexy's bodyguards.
Each of the girls bowed very theatrically on cue.
Bodyguard isn't by chance music industry slang for backup dancer, is it?
No, but you know it should be. Ladies, this is Zach Johnson, Sexy's new bodyguard.
Nice to meet you, ladies. I'm not replacing you, just helping out due to the PATA threats. We'll be working together. I just want to make certain that everyone's cool with that.
One of the girls approached me with her hand extended.
Pleased to meet you, sir. I'm Misty.
Call me Zach.
I extended my hand in return. She moved quickly, almost faster than I could see, grabbing my arm at the wrist, twisting it sharply to give me a jolt of pain. Then she moved in close, slipped her arm under my shoulder, and flipped me onto the floor. I was lying on my back almost before I knew what hit me.
Bodyguard is slang for bee slapper.
Misty had her foot on my chest.
And nobody tells us what to do.
We thought it would be more practical and economical to have multifunctional backup dancer slash bodyguards for Sexy. We have plenty of bots around during events, but we always keep the gal pride around.
And we're the best.
Too bad you weren't around last night when Sexy was in trouble.
We were lying low, because Miss Sexy was incognito.
Lying low while someone else saves your employer? If that's the best you can do, then I'm not impressed.
I grabbed her leg behind the knee and pushed her over the top of my body. I grabbed her wrist as she stumbled and twisted her arm behind her back until I knew it was just slightly more painful than what she'd given me and pinned her face down on the floor with my knee.
Impressive. Of course, I did increase blood flow to your bones and muscles to help you pull off that move. And the other two are moving in behind you now, and I don't think they're admiring your butt.
I turned as the first one, Lusty, I think, jumped at me, coming feet first with a flying kick. I rolled to the ground and let her sail over me. She landed on Misty as I continued my roll and leg-swept Sissy, I think, who was just starting to move. I took her feet out from under and popped my gun into hand just in time to stick the snub-nosed business end of it into the faces of the charging Misty and Lusty. It stopped their charge like a pause button on a playback.
I don't care if you're the best, the guest, or the rest. I'm here to keep Sexy alive, and I don't have time to waste with this posturing and pouting. You can either help me out or get out of the way. But the next time we fight like this, my gun barrel does the talking. Got it?
Oh, wow! Sexy told us you were hardcore. But Zach, that was downright obscene.
Obscene?
Slang for exceptional.
I popped my gun back into my sleeve and took my knee off Sissy's back. Misty and Lusty had backed away and were now relaxed and smiling.
What the dice is with you people?
The girls were just trying to prove themselves to you, and maybe have you prove yourself a little to them.
We love Sexy, Mr. Johnson. We're here to protect her.
I'm here to protect her, too. But if we're gonna work together, you have to promise me you won't pull any tweet like this again. Agreed?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Lusty just nodded.
Good, because we really don't have time for this. And Gates knows that I don't have the patience. Now grow up.
Wow, you sound like my father.
Good, then you're grounded too. And pull up your pants a little. You're gonna catch cold.
That one didn't go over too well. I left the hotel in the afternoon. Hara activated her hologram in the hotel parking lot and walked with me as I made my way to the car.
You know, big guy, being a bodyguard usually implies that you actually stay with the body you're supposed to be guarding.
Sexy is perfectly safe inside the hotel. You saw the security system, and Carol's there.
True.
Besides, I'm a PI first and foremost. If I can find Pata quickly, I can turn them over to the police before they make their move. That way, we can get out of babysitting duty entirely.
Okay, I won't argue with you on that one. You want me to do the legwork?
Right. Scan all databases and files for any information on PATA.
Way ahead of you. There's nothing in the public files, but I'll try phishing some of the more secure databases and see if anything turns up. I may have to grease a few palms, though.
Yeah, Sexy's paying the bills. Just try to get a receipt for the bribes.
You're a laugh riot, handsome. I'll let you know when something interesting comes up.
Great. And can you net me with Tony? Did you just call me handsome?
It's a figure of speech, you lunkhead. Don't let it go to your head.
You're creeping me out here, Harv.
It's Hara Handsome.
Stop it.
You know, you're kind of cute when you're angry.
Don't get me started.
Okay. But I think you better hit the deck now.
What?
She put her manicured hands on my shoulders and pushed me to the pavement.
Just as a massive laser blast sailed over my head. Did you just push me? I crawled quickly across the parking lot surface, seeking cover beneath the crafts.
I have limited tactile abilities now.
Her hologram was crawling beside me.
That was Dr. Poole's upgrade earlier this afternoon.
You can be solid?
Only parts of me and only for short periods of time.
Wow.
You're sort of missing the big picture here, Zach.
I popped my gun into hand and peered out from behind the rear end of a parked hover limo. Tap into the security cams and let me know what I'm up against here. But first, net with Carol and tell her to make sure Sexy gets to a secure location.
I don't think we have to worry about Sexy or anyone else being in danger here.
What do you mean?
Take a look.
Aura pointed toward the airspace just above me. Sure enough, a handful of familiar-looking small spherical camera bots floated around us. Roundtree.
That's a fair assumption. Looks like they've begun work on episode number 2, Zach Johnson versus a quartet of level 5 battle bots.
Battle bots in a parking lot. That's first-class entertainment, all right.
Maybe the Kabuki episode tested a little too highbrow for them. You're lucky they're not using monster trucks and supermodels now. By the way, you better run. Northeast would be wisest.
I sprang to my feet while simultaneously keeping my head down, which isn't easy, and ran for the northeast end of the parking lot, just as the second BattleBot let loose a blast from its cannon. The blast hit the limo and blew it to smithereens.
Head for the barrier!
I did as I was told and hightailed it toward the waist-high hard plastic barrier encircling the border of the parking area. I could see all four bots now as I scanned the lot. There were two on the south end and two on the west, with both pairs closing in, trying, I suspected, to pin me against the hotel on the east side of the lot. I fired a series of high-powered blasts from my gun as I ran, but they bounced off the bot's shells, doing no damage at all.
This is not good.
I dove behind the barrier.
They have blaster-resistant outer shells. Your gun's not going to be much use.
We have to get them away from the hotel before someone inside gets hurt.
You mean like your client? Funny that the only time she's been in actual danger is because of you, isn't it?
Hilarious. Now, why do these bots look so familiar to me?
Probably because you saw the prototype at Dr. Poole's lab.
These are Randy's bots?
It appears as though his lab has the special effects contract for your series.
Great. At least we're keeping this all in the family. Net Randy now and put him on the wrist comm. Randy's face appeared on the screen on my wrist comm. Just as another blast from the approaching bots exploded a sports hover nearby.
Yes, Zach. How can I help you? Oh, I see the battle bots have arrived. How are they performing?
Oh, pretty darn well, if you're trying to kill me.
Good. Don't destroy them too quickly. I don't want people to think that they're easy to beat.
No problems there, Randy. My gun isn't working against them.
Are you using the Botbuster Ordnance?
The what?
The Botbuster Ordnance that I designed for your gun. I sent you a memo about this last month.
Randy, I don't read your memos.
You don't?
They're all like 20 pages long. I don't have time to read the specs on every new gadget that you create.
I'm guessing that you're regretting that now, huh?
Randy!
That's specifically why I gave Foe these bots for this episode. I knew you'd be able to beat them with the special ordnance.
Well, you should have told me that.
I signed a confidentiality agreement, Zach. It wouldn't be ethical.
Randy, your ethics are about to get me killed.
Talk about your moral dilemmas.
I poked my head above the barrier and saw the bots approaching. They had to weave their way to me, moving in and out of the rows of parked hovers. I saw the cannon of one glow red as it moved. Hara followed my gaze and confirmed my suspicion.
It's powering up for another blast.
Good. Help me with my aim. Big bang, tight. I sent a very tight blast of energy at the bot's cannon. Blast hit the mouth of the cannon just as the bot fired, and the two blasts exploded in unison, rupturing the bot from within. One down. Get ready to move, Hara. They're getting a little close for comfort.
Ready when you are, big guy.
Now! I leapt over the barrier and made a charge through the lot, heading west where there was now only one approaching bot. Even with one bot destroyed, I still wasn't all that optimistic about my chances.
By the way, Zach, you're going to love me for this.
Now's not really the time, Hara.
I know that you don't really encourage me to act independently and all, but I sometimes ignore you when it comes to that.
That's an understatement. Is there a point here? I glanced over at the remaining bots, which had altered their paths, and were now weaving through the parked hovers toward us. I could tell at least two were charging their cannons.
The point is that I read Dr. Poole's memos. They're actually quite interesting.
Good for you.
And I found the Botbuster memo to be particularly cogent and well-constructed.
So?
So, I took it upon myself and loaded the ordnance.
You what?
You're locked and loaded, big guy. Go save the day.
Hara, you're a dream.
The voice command is Biggie Biggie Bot Boom.
That's a pretty wimpy sounding command.
I wouldn't complain if I were you.
Biggie Biggie Bot Boom!
The recoil from the blast nearly knocked me over, but it did its job on the other end, cleanly piercing the shell of the BattleBot and blowing it to bits. I spun around and fired off some more rounds, falling back to the ground as I did so. Two more bot-shaped fireballs lit up the lot and showered the expensive hovers with high-tech shrapnel. Something tells me that I won't have any problem meeting my car insurance deductible this year. I reached my office on the New Frisco docks with no other major entertainment-related incidents, although Rupert Roundtree called me on the way over to rave about my performance in episode 2 of the series, referring to it as bombastical. I called him an idiot and a fraud, but he took it as a compliment and then excused himself so he could attend a focus group of white trash Americans. He didn't say if he was running it or one of the participants. Other than that, the trip was uneventful. My office is an oasis in the desert of late 21st century technology-centric chaos. It's a throwback to an earlier time, as am I, a technologically simpler time when everything wasn't wirelessly connected to everything else, when machines weren't connected to one another, and more importantly, when machines weren't connected to people. It's a place where I can sit in my simulated leather chair, prop my legs up on my real wood desk, put my arms behind my head, and let my mind do its thing. It's also a place where bill collectors, unsatisfied clients, angry press bots, assassins, and enemies of the state can easily find me. But every oasis has its drawbacks. First order of business was to reestablish contact with Tony Rickey.
What do you want now, Zach?
Tony, I'm hurt that you think I only call you when I want something from you.
Not really. You also call me when there's a warrant out for your arrest.
Well played, Captain.
Do you know that the department has a list server called Guess What Zach Did Now?
Really? Is it accurate?
Most of it's way off, third-hand stuff. I try to post the real stuff, but I keep getting kicked off because no one believes it. You know, like last night's Kabuki fiasco.
Oh, please. Last night was nothing. I've had more people try to kill me at a softball game.
That's what happens when you pitch spitballs to a police athletic league.
It was sweat, Tony. I have no control over my pores.
I didn't know the mouth was considered a pore. What can I do for you?
Do you know anything about a group called PATA?
Not off the top of my head.
Tony typed into his computer keyboard.
They don't show up in any of the databases. I'm afraid to ask this, but why are you interested?
They threatened to kill Sexy Sprockets.
Have the threats been reported?
They will be. You should be getting the call any time now. I'll have Hara send over copies of the threats.
Hara is Harv, right?
Sadly, yes. I've made it clear to Sexy and her people that they should cooperate with your department.
Great. I'll send some men over. She's at the Elite?
Where else? What kind of security will you have at the concerts?
Well, her fans are more exuberant than most, so we plan to have extra personnel and machines there, both uniform and plain clothes.
Plain clothes machines?
They double as popcorn dispensers. So you're on Sexy's payroll now?
She's asked me to help her security.
Zach Johnson, bodyguard.
I've been called worse.
You mean like reality star?
There is no show. It's just a misunderstanding.
Well, whatever you say. And Harv's still a woman?
She's called Hara now.
She looks good for a computer. You'll have to tell me the whole story sometime.
Yeah, let me know when you have a free month. Right now, I'm just trying to keep Sexy alive.
Like I said, Zach, I'm not going to let anything happen to her on my watch. Thanks for the info. I'll make sure everyone's on guard.
Hopefully, there won't be any trouble.
Believe me, Zach, with you on the case, there'll be trouble.
I appreciate the vote of confidence, Tony. Let me know if you turn up anything on PATA. Tony smiled, and his face disappeared from the screen just as Hara's hologram appeared on the back of my desk, legs crossed, skirt riding high.
Wow. Sharing information and cooperating with the police. Is this the start of a new Zach?
Don't worry. I'm sure my goodwill with the police department is only temporary. Any new information on PATA?
Nothing yet, but I'm still digging. You need anything else?
Run background checks on Sammy Smiles and Sexy's bodyguard, Saucy, Scrappy, and Scurvy.
You mean Misty, Sissy, and Lusty?
Whatever.
Got it.
When you say got it, do you mean that you understand the request, or that you have the actual info?
Both, Zach. I'm very intelligent. Try to keep up. By the way, you have a message from Electra.
Hate mail?
More like a shot across the bow.
Hara morphed into a simulated Electra.
I'll be home tomorrow, Chico.
That's it?
That's it.
She's mad at me. And for once, it's not because of something I did or had any control over.
I think it's cute that she's jealous of us.
She's not jealous of us. There is no us.
I'm me, and you're the holographic interface of a supercomputer.
There have been stranger couples.
We're not a couple.
We're partners.
No, we're not.
Would Electra have loaded your gun with botbusters?
Oh, Doss. Where's Rupert Roundtree when you need him?
Oh, I get it. I'm not good enough for you.
What?
Sure, I'm the world's most sophisticated cognitive processor, but you're Zachary Nixon Johnson, private eye. Nobody's good enough for you, are they?
I buried my head in my hands and thought nostalgically about how good my office used to feel. This is what hell feels like, isn't it?
Don't talk to me now. I'm mad at you. By the way, I have the info that you requested.
I thought you were mad at me.
I am, but I'm also a professional. I am not going to let our personal relationship get in the way of our work relationship.
I appreciate that.
As well you should. I've learned the initial death threats from Pata came in via an ultra-encrypted line. They're untraceable.
That figures. So it's a dead end.
A dead end that tells us much.
How so?
A line that's encrypted to such a degree is ripping edge.
So whoever sent the threats has access to some serious tech.
Correct.
Which means they're either rich, powerful, or both.
You know, you're almost as smart as you think you are.
Well, it's a start.
What now?
We've done all we can from here. We're not going to track Peta down today, so it's time to start being an actual bodyguard.
Which means?
It means we prepare for the worst and hope for the best.
It also means backstage passes to Sexy's concert.
I'm not sure if that falls into the best or worst category, but let's stop at the store while we're out and pick up some earplugs, just in case. New Frisco's Municipal Arena is a wonderful entertainment and sports venue that's smack in the middle of the old Mission District. It's a fine facility with perhaps the most unfortunate name in the history of, well, of names. You see, back when the arena was being built, the city auctioned off the naming rights and got several strong bids. The city planners, guided by their eternal myopia and fueled by their unquenchable greed, accepted all the bids and named the arena after the conglomeration of conglomerates that were willing to pony up the necessary credits. So officially, the arena is called the Faux Excel Relapse H-Tech Center. But one day, some kid noticed the acronym, F-E-R-H-T, and couldn't get his mind out of the gutter. His little joke spread through the adolescent population first, then into the mainstream. Before we knew it, the joke just sort of entered the regional vernacular, and despite the city's best efforts to shake it, the nickname stuck. So New Frisco's state-of-the-art entertainment and sports arena is lovingly known the world over as the Fart. To my mind, there's no better place on the West Coast to see a concert or a game. Basketball or hockey, that is. The baseball and football stadiums moved to the suburbs years ago. The hot dogs are a little pricey, the beer's extremely so, but the bulgogi and nachos are first rate. All in all, the Fart's not a bad place to spend an evening with 50,000 of your closest Bay Area friends. Unless, of course, one of those 50,000 is a hired assassin who's out to put an ice pick through your client's eye. Then it's sort of the needle and haystack dilemma on a grand and deadly scale. I had a little trouble at first getting into the Fart. It was, after all, 3 hours before the doors opened, and I had no actual ticket to the concert. But a quick call to the facilities manager from Sammy Smiles opened the doors pretty quickly and got me an all-access pass. Before long, I was standing center stage in front of 50,000 empty seats and trying hard not to get in the way of the roadies and techies as they prepped for the show. And I must say that the stage itself was something to behold.
Being front and center like this certainly makes Sexy an easy target.
She's the main attraction, all right.
And by the way, I never would have thought that one stage could hold this much red velvet and black satin.
Yeah, what's with that?
It's part of the motif for the tour, I suppose.
And what's that over there?
A guillotine and a sausage-making machine.
What motif exactly are they shooting for?
Ménage Abattoir.
What?
That's the name of the tour. The Ménage Abattoir Tour.
What does that mean?
I think it's a pun. Sexy thought it was sexy.
An abattoir is a slaughterhouse, right?
Very good. My understanding is that she confused abattoir with boudoir, but by the time anyone had the courage to tell her, the tickets had already gone on sale. Turns out it's very popular.
Yeah, very cutting edge.
So to speak.
I stepped over a saddle-covered rocking chair and walked the length of the stage, scanning the wings as I did so. The entire space made me worry. It was far too open, far too dangerous. The police will scan for weapons as the crowd arrives, and there are sensors in the arena that can pick up the energy signatures of any unauthorized weapons that are activated. But she sure is out in the open here. Maybe we can convince her to wear body armor.
Please, Zach. It took a court order to convince Sexy to wear underwear on stage.
I'm not surprised. Get a list of everyone on Sexy's crew that will be here tonight. Musicians, programmers, roadies, butchers, everyone. I want background checks run on all of them.
You think that Pata could have someone inside Sexy's camp?
Let's not take any chances. We know next to nothing about Pata right now, other than that they have access to high tech and that they've gotten very close to Sexy already.
Got it. There are a lot of people on the payroll for this event. It will take some time to screen them all.
Do what you can. Just flag the odd ones for me.
Odd is a very relative term when you're surrounded by satin sheets and pork byproducts.
I hate this.
I know. Pork gives you gas.
We're coming into this late in the game. We have no idea who we're up against. We have no control over the schedule or the venue. We're so far behind right now, we can't even see the starting line.
So what do we do?
For tonight, we have to narrow our focus. We can't safeguard this entire space, but the good news is that we don't have to. The only thing we have to guard is Sexy, so we stay close to her.
Are you planning on going on stage with her? Because I should warn you, Zach, this crowd probably won't respond well to your Elvis impersonation.
Trust me, with Sexy and her dancers on stage, no one's going to be looking at a 40-year-old guy in a trench coat. But just to be safe, you better make sure that your hologram projector is working. You never know when we might need to disappear. 2 hours before the show, Hara and I were back at the Elite, scoping out the parking lot. The valets, I'm told, had spent the better part of the afternoon clearing the aftermath of my bot battle. They weren't too pleased to see me, and I couldn't blame them. I'm sure that one doesn't get the best tip in the world when you have to bring a customer's car around in a giant plastic bag. While Sexy and her posse, Carol included, were inside the hotel, gathering themselves for the limo ride over to the Fart, I took it upon myself to have a chat with the limo driver. Like I said earlier, Sexy's hover limo was sleek and really, really long. Hara brought up the phallic symbolism of the vehicle, but it was way too late in the day to have that conversation. So I ignored her and tapped on the dark, rose-tinted driver's window.
I'm busy.
And I've got a gun. The window slid down and revealed a plump teenage kid in a black chauffeur's cap and uniform.
You better really have a gun. I'll get in trouble if I fall for that line again.
Trust me, kid. I've got one. What's your name?
Joey Mateo. But people call me Shriek. I'm Sexy's driver.
Nice to meet you, Shriek. I'm Zach Johnson, Sexy's new bodyguard.
The Zach Johnson? Wow! You're not gonna, like, blow up the limo, are you?
Listen, Shriek, I know you're a great wheelman, but I've got a more important job for you tonight.
What's that?
Shotgun.
What shotgun?
I opened the door and shoved him toward the passenger side of the front seat. Scoot over into the other seat and recline it just a touch so you're comfortable.
Now what?
Now rest your right arm on the side so you look good. Feel free to hold a drink in your left. Shotgun's thirsty work.
Got it.
Your job for the night is to keep lookout while the limo is parked or while it's moving. Keep an eye out for anyone strange approaching. Understand?
Sure. But who's gonna drive?
Ara's hologram shimmied up behind me on cue. She was dressed in a tight-jacketed chauffeur's uniform, complete with cocked hat, short skirt, and stockings.
Hi there, big boy. Wanna go for a spin?
Man, this is so cool.
Yeah, don't get too excited, Shotgun. She's mostly intangible. Now fasten your seatbelt. It's gonna be a bumpy night. We got Shriek settled in the Shotgun seat, and eventually got him to look at other things besides Hara, just as Sexy and her entourage of redheads emerged from the hotel, bouncing and strutting and primping all at once as they moved like a bumptious sea of spandex, porcelain skin, and red hair.
Here they come!
Shriek's attention slipped from Hara for the nano. Smiles was with them, now wearing a black and red striped suit and looking like a shard of jagged dark glass and a serving of cotton candy. Where's Carol? As they flounced closer, Shriek hopped out of the shotgun position and opened the passenger door. I told her to stay with Sexy.
Look a little harder.
I looked for Carol's auburn hair amid the radiant ruby-haired throng, but I couldn't spot her. She's not there.
Look past the hair.
What do you mean, past the...
Hi, Theo!
Carol? She'd changed her clothes, swapping her jeans and blouse for faux leather pants and half-top to match that of Misty, Lusty, and Sissy. And her hair was red.
Don't you love it?
The group climbed into the limo.
Yeah.
Love isn't the word. Carol gave me a hug as she passed.
Sexy said I can be on stage with her tonight. We went over all the dance moves this afternoon.
On stage?
Isn't it great? I'm a backup singer.
With Carol, you can't sing.
Oh, Tio, you're so old school.
Yeah, I'm getting that a lot lately.
I climbed into the limo and settled in the seat nearest the door. Sexy sat in the plush rear seat, a couch, really, flanked by Smiles and Carol. Sissy, Misty, and Lusty lounged on the seats at the side. Everyone stretched out and got comfortable, which wasn't hard in the plushy confines, so I rapped on the plexiglass behind the driver's cabin.
Let's go, Hara. And nothing reckless, please.
Oh, you're no fun at all.
How's it feel, Sexy? Embarking on the first of your final concerts?
It's just another air mile on the skyway of life, Sammy.
While all the girls were laughing, Carol included, I saw Smile's fingers reach out past Sexy's shoulder and gently stroke Carol's newly reddened hair. She didn't seem to mind, and that scared me. Backstage, half an hour before the show, was pure bedlam. Sexy was in her dressing room going through her pre-show ritual with Smiles. Carol and the other girls were nearby, though not actually in the same room, limbering up their vocal cords and G-strings. I was still uncomfortable about how Carol was throwing herself into this atmosphere, but I had wanted her to get in close to the girls, and she reassured me with a few mental messages that she still had her mind on business.
Things are all clear so far from here, Tio. Sexy safely in her dressing room, and the girls and I are pumped for the show.
Are you picking up any suspicious thoughts or vibes?
Not really. There's some psionic interference in the arena. Plus, all these people around create a lot of mental chatter. It's hard to zero in on any one mind.
So, once the arena fills up...
My abilities won't be much good unless someone gets close.
Okay. Then stay close to Sexy, and let me know if any alarms go off.
Got it.
The crowd was flowing in now, even though they knew that the show would start late. Sexy's shows were known for late starts. They wanted to be there early and soak up the atmosphere. And what a crowd they were. Thousands of them, all dressed in bright clothes that were either tight-fitting, see-through, or barely there. Sometimes all three. They were girls mostly, though a good percentage of them were male, boyfriends or boyfriend wannabes, and they were all young. Most of them were teenagers. 20-somethings in this crowd stood out like senior citizens. I felt like a dinosaur, but I'm kind of used to that.
That's it.
I ducked into the stage wings. I'm starting the show. Hara's hologram appeared beside me as I walked quickly down the hallway toward the dressing rooms.
What do you mean?
The quicker we get Sexy on stage, the quicker she does her show, and the quicker we can get her out of danger. There's no point in letting the crowd work themselves into any more of a frenzy.
You have no sense of drama, do you?
I have plenty of sense, but I can live without the drama.
I stopped at Sexy's dressing room door. I hoped that someone on the other side would hear me over the crowd.
Sexy! I think we better get this show on the road! Sexy? Sexy!
I'm getting some strange readings from inside the room.
What kind of readings?
Radiation, much higher than normal. Not deadly, though.
That's it.
I backed away from the door and popped my gun into my hand.
Tight bang!
The blast blew apart the door lock, and then I kicked in the rest of the door.
Sexy?
She was asleep. Sort of. Her eyes were closed, and she definitely wasn't fully conscious. Which sort of implies sleep, but she also wasn't lying down. As a matter of fact, she wasn't touching the ground at all. She was hovering a full meter off the floor, feet together, arms spread, and fully enveloped in a dark red light that was emanating from a projector on the floor.
What the gates?
Zach, I didn't hear you. Is something wrong?
You tell me. What's going on here?
Sexy's in the meditation chamber. She does this before every show to clear her mind.
Why is she levitating?
There's an anti-grav generator in the projector. The sense of weightlessness helps her focus better. The red light is meant to subconsciously give her a sense of empowerment.
And the position?
Oddly, all performers who do this type of meditation just naturally assume the messianic pose. Go figure.
Yeah, go figure.
I popped my gun back into my sleeve.
The crowd's getting a little out of control. I thought it would be best if we started the show soon.
Sexy normally doesn't hit the stage until 45 minutes after the scheduled start time. But you're right. We don't want to create more trouble than we have to.
He hit a switch on the projector, and the red light surrounding Sexy dimmed slightly, and she began descending.
It will take a couple of nanos to fully bring her out of the meditation, but she should be ready to go soon.
He stepped into the light, took Sexy's hand, and patted it gently.
Sexy dear, time to wake up.
Her eyes opened slowly, and she looked around the room a little confusedly. Her eyes fell upon me, and the corners of her mouth turned upward ever so slightly. Smiles leaned toward her and put his lips to her ear.
Showtime!
Sexy's smile widened into something resembling the grin of a hungry wolf.
Oh, yeah!